Mullet and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brian is in Lost Wages, Nevada for the opening round of the tournament. And our buddy Zach Zaidman is joining us. And now we bring in Michael DeCourcy from the Sporting News, the Big Ten Network. He was in Pittsburgh and Liverpool supporter. They drew Man City. So as a United fan, Michael, I don't really have a horse in that race. That's my reaction.
You hate us all.
Well, you know, I we'll get to your games in a second, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And the roadies, that was an unbelievable game. But I want to start talking about Loyola because, of course, I went there, and we talked to you about the Ramblers in the past, Michael, and you were high on this team. You liked the team they had put together, and certainly to see them beat a team like Miami and the way that it happened, the last sec. I mean, there's an element of luck to it. But it's also just a glorious story, and Sister Jean getting national attention. It's just I got to tell you, in a tournament where we're talking about scandal and all this stuff, this is a magnificent story for everybody, including we alums.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I loved about what happened? You know, they fought their way all the way to the end. But the thing that I noticed immediately as I watched the replay of the shot, because I was writing and missed it live, unfortunately, was Dante Ingram as the ball was being advanced and was shut down and there was no avenue. There's Dante Ingram at the top of the key, probably 24 feet, saying, "I want the ball. I can do this." I mean, he is clapping his hands. He's saying, "Give it to me. I've got room. I can make a shot." And that was just so bold. There was no, you know, they were not running from the moment there. And this is what I talk about all the time when I talk about teams like St. Mary's. I mean, teams like that didn't get in, you know, they know how to win these games because they win. And Loyola is a perfect example. They had identical records, 28-5. And I don't care what league you're in. If you go 28-5 in Division I basketball, you're terrific. I don't care what league you're in. You know, whatever league it is, and for the most part, if you can do that, you know, maybe not the very bottom of the divisions, but I mean, if you're in the range where the Valley is or the West Coast Conference, I mean, you're good enough for this deal if you can do that. Because first of all, everybody in your league is good, decent to good. I mean, there are bad teams in every league, but I mean, the better teams in your league can play. And you have to go on the road to all of them, and going on the road in every league is challenging. And what Loyola did in taking over the Valley after Wichita left was really impressive. They deserve all the credit in the world. I'm very happy for them, not just what happened yesterday, but what happened two Sundays ago. Because if they hadn't won it, they probably would have met the same fate as St. Mary's, and it probably wouldn't have been right.
And I think that kind of pressure in your conference tournament when you're one of those mid-major schools just to get to the big dance, I think that helps you play pressure-free and have the poise down the stretch that we saw Loyola have yesterday. And just to piggyback on the point that you were making, Mike, 9 true road wins, that says I don't care what conference you play in, to win on the road is so tough that when you're able to do that, it gives you a sense of confidence in these tight games, no matter who you're playing.
Right. They, you know, you have to be confident that that things are going to go your way, that you can block out the crowd, that you can, you know, focus under pressure situations. They did all that throughout the year. They were wildly successful in the league. And then yesterday, I had a great feeling about, you know, that I didn't pick many upsets in this deal. But I did that one because I had a great feeling about the fact that I thought that it's basically Miami's game plan is to drive you apart. That's how they beat you. They separate you with the way they run their isolations, and they drive you apart. They try not to allow you to play as a team. And I didn't think they'd be able to separate these guys. I thought that's exactly why that was a great matchup for them. You put them in a game against a team. I'm not sure any of the other sixes necessarily scare me, but if you put them in a game against a high-major team that runs great schemes and has terrific talent, maybe they had a little bit tougher time. But a team whose primary, if not only tactic is to try to put you on islands and separate you. I thought that was an ideal matchup for the Ramblers.
What about Tennessee, Michael? What do you see with Loyola facing a real good Volunteers team, 3 seed?
Yeah, the problem with that one is that Tennessee, you know, I wrote on Selection Sunday night that I'd like to see the Tennessee-Cincinnati happen just to see if there'd be survivors. Because, I mean, those two teams are just so physically and mentally tough, and I think that's where Loyola might have a problem. I mean, where Loyola has an advantage or an opportunity is that Tennessee's guard play is not spectacular. It's, you know, it's solid, but, you know, most of their real talent is in their front court. That's where they really hurt you. Now, that doesn't to say that they can't hurt you from the perimeter. I mean, Admiral Schofield is an excellent shooter. But, you know, Grant Williams, that's where guys like that, that's where they get most of their success from.
Schofield's from Zion, too, so he's, you know, from Illinois. Let's talk about the game. The first game of the tournament is the one that everybody was watching. You know, you can't wait for the tournament to start. And you get Rhode Island against Oklahoma, and you're at that game. And, boy, I'll tell you, Oklahoma's season in a nutshell, right? You saw Trae Young, the best and the worst. You saw a team that had a lead. It ties the game to force overtime, has a lead in overtime, and the guy starts jacking it up from the painted spot on the floor. That was insane. They get two missed trays from how far away, and then turn the ball over, and the game's over.
Yeah, you know, what he was doing there, I understood what he was doing, but I think he understood the math of it, but he didn't understand the biology of it. And what I mean by that is, when they trapped him off the pick and roll, he has the range to go back there. That's not an issue. But 45 minutes into the game, he's had maybe 2 minutes of rest all night. So maybe the legs aren't there for that shot any longer. That's the biology of it. The math of it is, if he takes that shot, he's got a 35% chance maybe of it going in. If he doesn't, his guys are rebounding 4-on-3 because he's got two defenders out with him 30 feet from the goal, so they're not in the rebound. So the math of it makes sense, but the biology of it says he's too deep for the legs that he has at that point in the game, and he can't count on guys running down a rebound when they've also played 40 minutes or so. So that's where it didn't make sense. We tried it once, and when they did it again, and they trapped him a second time, it was a mistake for him to take that shot. The first one was kind of late clock, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a dead clock. I mean, it was fading. But the second one was a clear, you know, let's go ahead and do this. I think that, you know, I think the second one was a mistake. But the reality is, Molly, every time they gave up the ball, it was a mistake. Because his teammates, I mean, they never supported him this year, or rarely did. I mean, yesterday he shot 50% from the field, even with those two misses, 9 of 18. His teammates shot 20 of 51. His teammates, you know, took the ball and threw it over the sideline on a simple, basic pass. It's an easy pass to make. You don't make it unless your target's there. He threw it over the sideline. Target wasn't there. I mean, they were not very good. He was fantastic. And when he was playing with freedom and belief and confidence, they were very good. And when he allowed the whole post-Oklahoma State, when he took 39 shots and all the analysts went after him, when he allowed that to get into his head, and they were never the same. They went 4-14, I think, after that game. I mean, they were a completely different team after the blowback for the 39 shots.
Michael, we're out of time. Just quickly, Rhode Island, Duke, Villanova, Alabama, the games you're going to be at, that's why you went there. What's your takeaway?
Well, you know, Alabama's really talented. I mean, they have ridiculous talent. But they're not very good defensively. They weren't very good defensively last night. I'll be interested to see whether or not they can stop a team with Villanova's weapons. Because I know that Alabama has great offensive players. Colin Sexton is fantastic. One of the great pro prospects in this tournament, somebody for people to watch. Duke against Rhodey, I thought, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because I didn't think Rhodey played very well yesterday. The particular players did, as a team, no. So that they have to have a better effort, and you know, how will they attack the zone? It's not like it's new to them. I think that they have a chance, but it, you know, it's sort of like what you guys in boxing normally call a puncher's chance.
All right, my friend. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
Great stuff, Michael. That's Mike DeCourcy from Big Ten Network Sporting News. 312-644-6767. Where's your bracket at? Who do you like, Zach? We'll ask you. Don't answer, please. Buffalo, Kentucky. Does anything happen that changes your mind about who wins that one? Mully and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haley, Zach Sabin sitting in for Brian, who has gone to investigate the tournament in Las Vegas, Nevada. That is the voice of Porter Moser. He's the man of the hour. He is the architect of upset. We will have him on in just a little bit, 8:35 a.m. this morning. We will be talking to Porter. We'll ask him about his teams, his feelings moving forward, and there's a ton to go over. It's just a glorious moment, and Sister Jean will be giving him a scouting report, so maybe we can get Porter to reveal what she had to say as well. Just magnificent stuff for the Ramblers. Very pleased for them. Really, it's great to have the tournament going and to have a cheering interest in it. And I think he's right what he said there. I think it's fun. So many people in Chicago jumping on the bandwagon and really, you know, enjoying what is a really fun type of experience for this school.
Look at you. You're the perfect example. I mean, you're a guy who, back in the day, the last time Loyola was in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. So 100 years ago.
Right, but 100 years ago.
33 years
but
ago.
We were talking about this before the show, and just watching your face as you were telling the story about how you went to
Rhode
Island.
We drove to Rhode Island. Yeah. We waited out the first round, and then they got to Rhode Island for the Sweet 16, and they were playing Georgetown, who obviously beat them. Poor Alfredric Hughes couldn't get a shot off. That's when you first realized, oh, you know, he's shorter than I thought. And that was confirmed when I went to see him play for San Antonio against the Bulls. A lot of us went out there, and it was like, oh, no, poor Fred is not or Al or Rick, whatever you want to call him, is not big enough. But we did. We rented a car, which is a hard thing to do when you're 21, whatever it was. You're supposed to be 25. So we went to a shoddy kind of rental place. It was the only place that would rent us a car. And we drove to Rhode Island, and we stopped for snacks at my house on the south side. My mom made us a bunch of food, sandwiches and such, and we finished that before we hit the Calumet Expressway. That's not a joke. It was all gone. And then we drove 16 hours. We got there, watched the game, and stayed overnight. And drove back to Chicago, stopped in Boston for happy hour, and then made our way back home.
Yeah, so it's great what's going on at Loyola right now, because, and I'm sure you've seen all the footage of just the incredible expressions of joy that we've seen.
That's great.
In this area.
It's you know what? It's great for college kids to experience that, and it's mm-hmm. great, especially, you know, it was really, what's really fun is when you see, you know, Joe, they got to go to a Hawks game, and the Blackhawks are world class, and they, you know, mm-hmm. gave them jerseys, and they had the, you know, Joe Quenneville sent them a message. You know,
he's not the only one. Did you see Joe Madden?
I've seen Joe Madden
with the 85 Cutlass
and Chris Bryant and yes. Anthony Rizzo. You know, it's like
former President Obama.
You know, former President Obama picked him. I saw that Scottie Pippen, you know, tweeted out a thing about, you know, it was on TV that Scotty had jumped in. It's fantastic when, you know, a school like that can get the attention from all of the local people. Everyone, of course, but the Bears, who I think it was David Haw tweeted out that how every team in town had been helpful with the Ramblers, but the Bears held a news conference to introduce all their players while the Ramblers were playing. And David said something like, it's, you know, they should appreciate They're the only place in town that could appreciate 1985, like the Ramblers did.
They did tweet out good luck and congratulations, and I think they tweeted out something after.
I'm surprised the kid today, the linebacker, they're not holding that one off till tomorrow at 5:20.
The Bears added another quarterback, according to our good friend Peter Schrager.
What was that?
They added another quarterback.
Beside Chase Daniel?
Beside Chase Daniel.
Who is it?
Do you really want to know?
I do.
Guy by the name of Tyler Bray.
Bray's coming?
Yeah.
Is he related to Mike Bray?
He's not.
Because you're pretty peeved that the Irish didn't get their
I don't understand. Tyler Bray, by the way, played for Nagy at Kansas City. The thing about the Irish, people keep saying that they're not a good team. They won 20 games. Their best player missed just about the entire ACC portion of the season. Their point guard, John Farrell, was out. And right now, they are healthy. They still won 20 games with those guys being banged up. And I think if they were in this tournament, they could be as good as any team playing right now.
I'm not going to argue. I really thought they had a good shot of getting in. And the very fact that the Davidson upset is the thing that kept them out, that's just goofy. I'm sorry. Just goofy.
Instead, I got to watch Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I got to watch Arizona State.
They got a player.
Arizona State, dude. They were so special down the stretch.
You know, Zach, it's funny you say that. I was in Arizona, and I'm reading the Arizona Republic, and I'm talking, listening to the radio, and I'm talking to people that work out there. No one thought they'd make it. They thought they were out, and they should have been. Let's get to Kevbo.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mulligan Hanley, that is the voice of Dante Ingram, and his shot was so significant. The Ramblers are just to the right of the USA Today masthead on the front of the paper. That's pretty awesome stuff. And we're delighted to welcome in Porter Moser, the Loyola head coach, a great friend of the program, and just a magnificent architect of victory. Good morning, Porter. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing good.
Just an amazing thing to watch yesterday. I'm sure. I watched you. I knew on the sidelines when you made that Lucas Williamson call that you were entirely engaged. That was unbelievable. There's so many great plays at the end of that game, but what was your takeaway? Just the senior leadership, the fact that your guys met that moment.
You know what? How apropos that Loyola Chicago hits a game winner by a homegrown Chicago kid, Dante Ingram from Simeon. I mean, how just, you know, perfect storybook script for him, and just really happy for him. And happy for our guys. You know, just they believed. I mean, it's amazing with any walk of life, any company, anything, when you got a group of people that believe, that work together, that are unselfish, and that's what this group is. They're high character guys. But it was surreal. I mean, it was, you know, just to see the atmosphere. I can't tell you how amazing the following of Loyola was there. It was bigger than any of the teams that were there at the regional. And that is so cool because, you know, Molly, you've been there when we've had games at Gentile when you could tee up a golf ball during one of our games, hit it in the stands, and it started ricocheting around and not hit anybody. So to see what's going on, and to see the videos of all over campus, the student union, different bars just go ballistic. It's just so fun to see where this grassroots rebuild started from, to see how excited people are.
So what did you do after the game? We know what happened during the game, the decision not to call the timeout, the poise that your team displayed under the late game pressure. But you have to get your team back down to earth to continue to play in this tournament. So take me through everything that transpired after the game and how you're going to get ready for Tennessee.
You can't imagine the following right now. It's like a reality show. I'm not joking. I mean, CBS has been following us with a camera everywhere we go. I got to really just take time to walk into the restroom. I mean, there's everywhere you go. And it was just the biggest media circus you can imagine afterwards. And then we brought our guys in and we closed the door and, you know, we said a prayer. And one of the things I've said during this whole run is I love our guys. They're mature. They're locked in. I want them to enjoy this journey. I'm not this, you know, drill sergeant that won't let them enjoy it, because I can do that because every film session, every practice, they're locked in. They're mature enough to do it. And so, like we said it going in, and people ask me, like, how are you handling all the circus with everything? I'm like, I'm letting them enjoy it. But they know we have this laser-like focus once it's time to do business, once it's time to do film. And they've embraced that. And it's been, you know, the guys, like, we get back to the hotel, and it's at the Hyatt here in Dallas. It was crazy. And, you know, we had a meal catered in. We talked to him. We let him rest a little bit. We brought him back, you know, talked to him a little bit more and got him in bed. We got a bunch of things planned today, but, you know, it's put that in the bank. Next one. Now we go on to Tennessee. These guys didn't want to just come here and be happy that we were in the dance. They wanted how they practice. They wanted to come in here and compete and win and prove that and show people that we are good.
Porter, I read something in David Haw's column that I hadn't thought about, but I thought was very interesting, that if Krutwig had rebounded the ball, that you may have called a timeout there, but the fact that it was Ben, you knew that it was your senior guy, you were going to move the ball down the floor, and that left them. I mean, I think three guys floated over to try to cut off Marcus Towns, and he puts the ball over, and obviously you get the good look at a three, but man, that's a long shot to hit. What an amazing thing to do. But you know, you obviously didn't call the timeout, but you might have.
You know what? It is. It's the million-dollar thing. You know, if he would have got bottled up and it would have taken a couple seconds, you know, you want to where you can't get that quick outlet, you want to call timeout. But, you know, it's funny. Like, it's going to be criticized whether you do it or you don't. You know, it was interesting to hear the announcers. When Dante shot it, the announcer literally said, they got one timeout left and they're not using it, you know. And here's the thing is, there's so many we practice, we call it attack. We practice those scramble situations where we speed up the floor, we go downhill, we penetrate, kick, just like kind of how we do in our offense, how we share the ball, space it. And then the defense is kind of on their heels, and you got a good chance of getting a good look. Sometimes when you call a timeout, you know, you got to inbound the ball. They could trap you. They could fall back into a zone. They could, you know, prepare it, and you might not get a good enough look. Sometimes my philosophy is like, when they're disorganized, then you want to call a timeout. But sometimes all the guys said in the press conference, we work on it. It's called attack. And it's just a fast-paced, speed up the drill, space it, hook, drive, penetrate, kick, and just kind of scramble them with spacing with it. And we got unselfish guys. And Marcus, to kick it to Dante, just shows you. Sometimes guys want to just take it and do it themselves.
Right.
And Marcus took it, drew a guy, and then kicked it to Dante for the shot.
And it worked brilliantly. You could not have drawn it up any better than that. You didn't give him a chance to set up, and the rest is history. When you look ahead to Tennessee now, what stands out about what you've watched in terms of the scout for the Volunteers?
They are so physically big. I mean, their guards are 240. I mean, they are as physical, as big an athletic team as we have. They Williams, their SEC Player of the Year, is Coach Majerus would have loved him. He's the best duck-in guy that I've scouted against. He's like a Charles Barkley. He gets his lower butt in there, and he just drops it in and posts you up, and he makes and maintains contact. He's a clinic on how to post up. So if any coaches are listening and you have a post player that you want to talk, I'm pulling my Steve Stone on now. For all you young guys who want to learn how to post up, watch Williams from Tennessee. He does it perfect. They're just so physical, but, you know, they got to guard us, and that's the thing that we've kind of talked about. They're really good, but so are we, and we're looking for the challenge.
You know what I love about it, and you know, you hear people talk about the second round, how quickly the game comes. In a way, and you just said it, maybe it's an advantage to you. They don't really have time to concentrate on what you're doing as well, and you spread the ball so well, and you space the floor so well, and you guys play great defense. Maybe this is the best case scenario to kind of you know your identity, and not saying they don't, but it's an advantage for you.
You know, one thing that that we've done, especially when you start playing these teams like Florida, Miami, what we don't see in the Valley sometimes is you'll see four men that are 6'8", 6'9".
Right.
You know, Dante is a quintessential Valley mismatch guy. He's 6'7", or 6'6". So what we did yesterday, we did it a bunch. Now we put, like, if they're guarding Dante with a 6'8 guy, that's kind of like a true post where we start running ball screens with Dante. And we've done it all year, but it's really effective against a team like that where Dante comes off the ball screen. Now they got two bigs that aren't used to probably coming out off a ball screen together. So we've done that a bunch. You know, we plan on doing it again. And then to the point where they had to match up against us. you know, they had to go small. And so we'll do what we do. We've got to be ready to guard. They're really, really physical. I mean, their bodies, I mean, are, you know, they look like a high major program. And that's going to be that athleticism. But like I told the guys, you know how you take athleticism away? You get back in transition. You put a body on their body on a block out, and you have together shell defense shrinking the floor. And we got to do that. We've been doing that. And it's got to be at a high level tomorrow against Tennessee.
Porter, big picture, you got the luxury of time at Loyola. It wasn't always easy. You had to go through a lot in terms of moving conferences and all that kind of stuff. But we live in a world in college basketball where a lot of fans want coaches out. You see Tubby Smith being let go after 2 years, Kevin Ollie after winning a championship, already out at UConn. What would you say to people in regards to the patience that it took to get to this point with your program?
It's so much on where it was when you started. You know, there's certain coaches you can see that they'll inherit a program that, you know, maybe the other coach won and he moved on and he steps in and the foundation's built and the culture is there and there's some talent there. And then you see some other, you know, when you take over a program where it's really down, it's hard because there's so much pressure on that first recruiting class. You're not always going to hit on 4 or 5 guys, you know, in a recruiting class. And it takes a couple of recruiting classes. Then you got to develop those recruiting classes. Then you've got to have your, you know, you inherit a whole locker room. That when one of those guys you recruited, you don't know if that's the culture you want to build. They don't know you. They don't, I mean, the buy-in is a very hesitant buy-in. It takes time to get that whole locker room where you recruited them for what you want to do and then your culture. And then you get, then when your young kids come in and they see the seniors, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. And that's what we've done. I mean, I look back on when Dante and Ben were freshmen and Christian Thomas, Joe Crisman, London DeCuba were seniors. Those were guys in my first recruiting class and those guys bought in their effort, everything. And that's, we won 24 games, won the CBI. Now we've won in Dante's and Ben's year. We've won 86 games the last 4 years. That's 22. That's a lot of wins in 4 years. And now our freshmen, Lucas Williamson, Cam Crutwig, Christian DeGrom, they come in. All they know is how hard Ben and Dante work and how unselfish they are. That's how you build a program, but it takes time. It's so hard because fan bases want it quick. And think about it. On year two, they say, well, they might should get to the tournament. Year two, that's when your first recruiting classes are coming in as freshmen. It's really hard, but it's tough. I get it. It's part of what we do, and that's why I'm so blessed that Loyola, you know, they were steadfast on. They didn't want to bend on the type of student-athlete we brought in, the academics, the type of character, and I appreciate their patience because they weren't going to bend on it, and neither was I. And that's what I wanted. That's who I want to coach. I'm having a time of my life coaching awesome kids.
Well, you know, let me just say thank you, Porter, because, you know, not only do you get up with us, which is very kind of you, it makes me proud to be from a school like with Sister Jean there with the, you know, the kids running off the bench to celebrate with the Created by Culture t-shirts. Everything about this story, it's like the best story in college basketball right now, and you've earned it and you've delivered it to us, and thanks a ton.
Hey, Molly, thanks. I mean, I know you've been there being a Loyola grad, and I'm happy for, you know, it's just so great to see the pride in Loyola alumni and Chicago. I can't tell you how many Chicago people are just saying they're proud of, you know, so proud of what's going on and with Chicago. And being from Chicago area and being a longtime sports fan, this means a lot to me too, man. I just really appreciative and blessed. God is good. He's been really blessed me and blessed his program and blessed the university. So all glory goes to him. And Molly, thanks. You guys, thanks for having me on always.
Always, buddy. God bless you. Take care. That is Porter Moser, the head coach of Loyola basketball. Just, man, that just warms my heart. Molly and Hanley with Zach on the score.